Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Caroline Paul. She's a New York Times best-selling author who's been an outdoor adventurer her whole life. Yet through it all, she has wondered, why aren't women, like men, encouraged to keep adventuring into old age? Her latest book, Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking, How Outdoor Adventure Improves Our Lives as We Age, is a funny and fearless call for women to embrace the outdoors in our 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, casting our own futures in a new and dazzling light. Welcome to the show, Caroline.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. So, do you remember where your adventurous side started from?
You know, I was born in the 60s, so I think we had a feral childhood like most kids that time. You know, your parents just said, get on your bike and come back when it's dark.
Brilliant. So what would you remember some of the first things that you started to do that everybody wasn't doing, you know, that you started to do different things and people were like, oh, are you really going to do that?
I guess when I was pretty young, I wanted to build a milk carton boat because I saw it on an article in National Geographic. So I built one with my father and put it on a river and asked my twin sister to be the first mate and a couple friends to jump on, and they all trusted me. So we did.
Oh, brilliant. And what about then as an adult? Tell us about your adventures boogie boarding.
Well, boogie boarding came sort of later. I was, from a very young age, I was a whitewater rafter guide. I went around the world doing first descents on rivers. I bike packed throughout the world. I've sea kayak. I mean, I'm kind of a jack of all trades, just as anything that can get me outside. But when I was interested in writing this book after I was surfing, and I was 55 and I looked around and there weren't any women my age out there. And it was kind of cold winter swell. And I'm not a very good surfer, honestly, Hannah. And I knew there were a lot of women who could do some great things with the little sort of burly waves we were having. And I didn't understand it. And the same thing when I was on my electric skateboard, and the same thing when I also fly experimental planes. And there was often men my age there, or a lot older, but no women. And so I kind of went on a quest because I was wondering what my own older age was going to look like. I thought I was my best self in the outdoors and I wanted to stay out there, but maybe they knew something I didn't.
Oh, that's really interesting. So how did you go about meeting other adventurous women like yourself?
Well, it was kind of difficult because the truth is a lot of women don't really promote themselves, but I did it the way we usually do. I asked friends and I looked on the internet, and it turns out that while there still isn't as many women out there doing things as there should be, they are out there. Yeah. So I found boogie boarders, I found sea kayakers, I found base jumpers, all, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, even in their 90s.
Incredible. So, I mean, base jumping, that is definitely something that I would associate with with crazy 20-year-olds. I have to admit, tell us about the 54-year-old who you met then.
Yeah, Sean is, she was a kindergarten teacher. She's a grandmother, and she's a personal trainer. And she was, when we went, she was 52. Base jumping is considered one of the most dangerous sports in the world. It's when you jump off a cliff and then I guess they call it flying. I think I call it falling. and then you throw a parachute and you only have one chance, and then you float to the ground. And it's that 10 seconds or so of free falling that I think people really love. But I didn't do that. That was the one adventure I did not actually embark on. I am a pilot. I do fly with various things, but I decided, much to my family's happiness, that I was not actually going to do that. But I did walk around in a beautiful park while she and her husband and a friend did, and I was sort of ground crew. But I came away with an understanding that, you know, even if we're not going to actually do that adventure, it is still inspirational to see someone who's our age or older doing it.
Yeah. And how about the scuba diver, the 80-year-old Louise?
I was very interested in Louise because, you know, I was doing a lot of research at the time because this book is about fulfilling aging. It's not biopics of adventurous women, though, of course, there are lots of stories of adventurous women. But I really was looking into the science behind fulfilling aging. And what I found was that, first of all, and I think everyone knows this, I didn't do a lot of trying to prove this in my book because every woman over 40 starts nodding when I say, look, the messaging we get about our own aging is really toxic. We're told we're going to be frail. We're going to be on a cognitive decline, that our life's going to be boring. And we should probably start narrowing it now to protect ourselves. And then I found that this science, these studies that almost unequivocally tell us the way we look at our own aging predicts how well we age. So it was clear that we women are being set up to have a really negative view about our own aging, and that's really bad for our health. It turns out if you have a negative view of your own aging, you have a higher chance of cognitive decline earlier, cardiac events earlier, and the opposite is true. If you have an optimistic, exhilarated, adventurous view of your aging, you are happier, healthier, and you live 7.5 years longer. So I was on this quest to figure out, how do we get this optimistic view of our own aging in the face of such toxic messaging? And I really had a sense that going outside was the key to that. And so when I met people like Louise Holy, who was 80 and still scuba diving, or for instance, I went boogie boarding with women who get together 3 times a week and play in the waves in San Diego. And I found that when you go outside, the very things that this outdoor activity asks of you is a direct rebuke to all that messaging that says we're going to be frail, we're on a cognitive decline, and we're boring. I mean, ask Louise Holy. She took me in the Monterey Bay, and we went, which is not a necessarily very easy place to scuba dive. And we went diving and looking at all the fish and all the seals and all the birds. And when I went boogie boarding, somebody came up to me and said, Caroline, I want you to know that boogie boarding changed my life.
Wow.
When I heard that, Hannah, I got to tell you, boogie boarding is a simple sport. And I actually kind of look down on it a little. And I'm probably because I'm a surfer, I'm even though a bad surfer, I was like, boogie boarding. I mean, how transformative could that be? But let me go look at it. Let me go interview those women because they're getting outside. And that's what I think is important. And what they told me, sort of time and again, women told me, oh, but no, you don't understand. Here I am in the cold Pacific Ocean. Here I am making decisions about waves. Here I am helping my friends have fun. Like, I'm not frail. I'm not boring. I'm not on a cognitive decline. So over and over again, this is what I found when I went outside, that if you do pick an outdoor activity, it transforms your life and changes your own view about your aging, which is really key for your health.
Yeah. Oh, it makes so much sense. It really does. I think everyone can probably relate to different moments in their lives, or, you know, even from one day to the next, when you're staying inside, not really doing much, you know, watching a bit of telly, feeling a bit lazy and you know, enjoying that, which is obviously fine to do as well. Compared to being outside and having an outdoor adventure, swimming in the sea, things like that, and how different you feel about yourself at the end of the day. So I'm sure everyone can relate to that and totally understand where you're coming from, even if they're not doing it themselves at this moment in time.
And that's, you know, I was looking very interested in the psychological effects, but there's also those physiological effects. The studies are also very clear on this. When you go outside, nature is medicinal in deep ways. It is good for your blood pressure, for your mental health, because it's very calming for your brain. It's good for your inflammation markers. Like, they have made studies that going outside and taking just a mere walk is probably the best medicine.
Yeah. And a lot of people listening to the show today will be lucky enough to be living in a beautiful place, you know, near the sea or near the mountains with a nice view and, the opportunity to be outside. So we're very lucky. We must make use of it.
Yeah, we must. And, you know, you don't actually have, I mean, there are people, of course, who don't have that opportunity, who live in a very urban environment, may not be mobile enough to get far. And But you can still sit outside and, if it's safe, look at the sky, listen to the birds. I went bird watching with Virginia Rose, who's in a wheelchair, because I was interested in how we can adapt and go outside at a later age. Because if Virginia Rose, who's been in a wheelchair since 14 after a riding accident, can do it, then most of us can get outside in some way. So that was very inspiring.
Yeah. There's a woman, a friend of mine, who sadly passed away a few months ago in her 90s. She was in her mid-90s, and she was paragliding well into her 90s. I thought she was incredible. Yeah.
I wish I had met her. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, then another thing I learned in the research is how important novelty is for us. So, I mean, you can start paragliding now.
Yeah.
Anybody out there? I mean, there's also a lot of other things you can learn. But, it, you know, as we age, we worry about our brain. And actually going outside is one of the best things you can do, because Mother Nature is so uncertain. So it's always sort of, you know, laying down, you're always laying down new neural pathways and learning sort of, you know, how to adapt when you go outside. But then actually learning something new, like picking up, like, you know, get in a sea kayak if you never have. Or as I did, go bird watching, which I never had. That is really good for us.
Yeah. I suppose people, rightly or wrongly, are more cautious as they get older, thinking about, oh, that might not be good for my back, or I need to be careful of my knees, or all the different things that they may have had slight issues with in the past. So I guess people are a bit more cautious the older they get with the things they do with their bodies.
Yes, and especially women, I think, because we've been told how frail we are. And I don't have this Pollyanna view of aging that it's just like all rainbows and puppies. I do believe that as we get older, we do experience loss. We experience loss of our partners. We feel loss of our bone mass. But there are ways to adapt. And what I really saw is how, especially as women, but surely as men, we pull back too much. There's always something you can do to get outside. And I urge people to take small steps. One of the people I interviewed, he wasn't really part of my target audience, but he was bird watching with me, and he had been in a wheelchair with a very bad case of muscular sclerosis. And he was only 35, but he read a book about birds and he began to be very, very interested. So he started to watch them just from his kitchen. And then as he got more fascinated, he went to his porch. Then he went to his backyard and he put up feeders. And then when I met him, we were on a 6-mile birdathon. So he was wheeling 6 miles and I was walking. So small steps is great, but you must get outside, because it offers you so much, community, novelty, purpose, and health, and a positive mindset about your own aging. All the really important things we need in this later part of our life.
Yeah. Someone who I know enjoyed your book, she had some lovely words to say about it, who I had the pleasure of interviewing a few months ago, was Diana Nyad. I mean, she epitomizes what you're talking about, doesn't she?
She does. I mean, after 5 attempts in later age, she still kept at it and then finally made that crossing from Cuba to Florida. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your kind of next challenge? Having tried a lot of new things, are there anything that you're still really wanting to try that you haven't yet that's on your list?
Oh, there's so much that I want to try that I haven't yet. But mostly I think that, well, one thing I'm sort of obsessed with is I'd like to learn to navigate better, because I learned through the writing of this book that navigation and memory are inextricably linked. So here we are using GPS, very bad for our brains. And I'd like to learn to navigate by the stars. So I have to take a class on that. Yeah. And so, because my memory is not great, I mean, I'm like a normal person, but in order to keep our memory sharp, we should be picking up paper maps, or at least always be oriented to north, south, east, west, not left and right like I am.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I've always been, thanks to my parents, always been interested in geography and maps and things like that. And I run a weekly quiz in a local pub here. And It amazes me sometimes when it comes to geography. I'm not talking about any regular quizzes, but every so often people on holiday or whatever who come in and do a quiz. some people's kind of lack of lack of knowledge as to where things are, things that would be really obvious to a lot of people. I kind of think, how have you got through life not knowing that the only country that borders Portugal is Spain, for example, particularly Europeans, particularly people who live in Europe, who, you know, travel regularly to Spain and France and whatever on holiday. You know, there was a question that came up about countries that bordered Italy. And, you know, some of the answers that this particular team put, I was like, how could they think that Portugal could border Italy? I just find it bizarre. And I think, wow, they've clearly never looked at a map. I mean, never.
Yes, like a map or a bad map and seeing themselves in relation to other things.
Yeah.
That's the key because, yeah, I mean, they've done tests. They show that if they, they put some older people and they had them navigate using just VR and they tested significantly better on memory and cognitive tests afterwards. Same when people took a walk outside. People who took a walk outside tested better on memory and cognitive tests afterwards. And of course, that's not the navigation part with the outside part. That's the outside part.
Yeah.
When you go outside, it's so restful for your brain. There's so much less, if you find green space, so much less busy work that the brain has to do, which it does in an urban setting, filtering out the noise and the hard edges and the harsh light. And it's like constantly trying to figure out whether we should be in fight or flight. And when you're outside, there's a calming that happens with your brain. So you do better cognitively. So go outside, bring a map.
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was so hard to find somebody who actually went outside with a paper map that I had to interact with an orienteer, which is which is a sport. We're very obscure here. I know it's less obscure in Europe. Here, it's so obscure where you actually race with a map and compass.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, my dad still has an atlas of Europe in the car, which everyone thinks is weird because nobody does that now. But he really loves looking at maps. So there we go. There are people out there.
We have to keep doing it. I didn't find a lot of studies during the writing of my book about how GPS was going to interact with our memory and how it was going to basically, you know, hurt our memory. But I know those are coming. And so...
Fascinating. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Tough Broad, and it's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Caroline Paul, who we've been chatting with today. Caroline, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah. I hope you get outside today.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye.